Well, hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Audio Zine on the Global Voice. This is a monthly show about zines and underground publishing, international radio news, and new indie music. It's a blend of paper culture and radio, and it's an experiment, so I want to welcome you along for the ride. I'm going to start this month's program off with some information from the RCI Action Committee. Radio Canada International is due to stop broadcasting on shortwave on June 30th, and the RCI Action Committee is working to hopefully prevent that from happening. This is from their blog at www.rciaction.org. We are asking Canada's federal government to step in, stop the drastic cut to Radio Canada International's budget, and to protect Canada's voice to the world by giving the service financial autonomy from CBC Radio Canada. Why are we asking for such a drastic step? On April 4, 2012, as part of its budget cuts, CBC Radio Canada said it was transforming our international service to focus on webcasting, that RCI will provide multilingual service broadcasting in English, French, Spanish, Arabic, and Mandarin. What it did not say is that Canada's voice to the world will stop being a radio station and the budget will be cut by 80%. We are not being transformed, we are being destroyed. More than 80% of our $1.23 million budget will be cut. More than two-thirds of staff will be fired. None of them are bureaucrats, all of them are radio production staff. Two language services, Russian and Portuguese, will be closed down. There will be no newscasts, the newsroom will be shut down. We will no longer be a radio station, all shortwave and satellite programming will end on June 24th. Our only presence in the world, as Canada's voice to the world, will be on the internet with a website that has yet to be conceived. Clearly, we have very little time to stop this cut. The broadcasting of our programs ends on June 24th. Here are a few of the key facts in point form. RCI's budget has been cut by more than 80%, from $12.3 million to $2.3 million. RCI Newsroom will be eliminated, all newscasts cut. RCI will no longer be a radio broadcaster, whether on shortwave or satellite. Chinese audiences will be cut off from uncensored news from RCI because only shortwave reaches the Chinese, and RCI website is blocked by China. Important trading partners such as China, India, Russia, Brazil will be cut off from news from Canada because the RCI website is blocked or the internet not as accessible as in North America. Russian and Portuguese services will be eliminated. For the language services that remain, English, French, Arabic, Mandarin, and Spanish, there will be some kind of website presence, still undefined, and far less effective than radio transmissions. People in many countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America will still have spotty internet access and depend on broadcasts on shortwave for Canadian news. Because of RCI's contextualized programs for people with little or no information on Canada, trade, tourism, and immigration has been helped. With the layoffs, Canada will lose people with decades of expertise at representing Canada around the world. This process of cutting the RCI budget to solve CBC Radio Canada budget problems started in December of 1990, when the corporation tried to shut down RCI completely. RCI was saved only because of the intervention of the federal government at the time. But we lost half of our budget, half of our language services, and three-quarters of RCI original programming. This has to stop. And that's the news from the RCI Action Committee. For more information, check out www.rciaction.org. And I'm one of those people who believes that shortwave service is essential for communications around the globe, even in the digital age. So even though I'm not a Canadian citizen, I will be doing my part to ask RCI to keep its programming and its broadcasts on the airwaves.
The Global Voice. the most interactive station on the internet.
And you're tuned to the Mixed Media Audio Zine with DJ Frederick. One of the things that I hope to weave in and out of these broadcasts is some independent music. We're going to hear a piece by Tom and Liv. This is called Cerulean. Beautiful song called Cerulean from Tom and Liv. Tom is from the UK and Liv is from the US, and together they use the internet to make beautiful music. For more information, check out Tom and Liv, that's tomandliv.bandcamp.com. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine on The Global Voice. Welcome aboard. I would like to read a piece from Defula, which has 3 issues published to date by an anonymous author. who is deaf and who writes about the experience of deafness in her life. I'd like to read a piece called How to Receive a Relay Call from Deafula 3. This is helpful information for hearing folks, especially if you work in a customer service capacity of any kind and answer the phones. Deaf people sometimes use a service called Relay to make a call from their TTY or computer to a regular hearing phone line. How it works is they call you with an operator and they'll type something and the operator relays it via voice to you. You'll say something and the operator relays it back via typing to the deaf person. So the operator acts as a go-between for you. A few helpful hints. 1. Relay calls often start as if they are a scam or a telemarketer or something. I know it sounds suspicious to get a call from someone claiming to be with a random phone company, but if you get a call saying they are a relay operator from Sprint, ATT, or someplace else, this isn't a telemarketing call. It's a deaf person trying to call you. The amount of times people have just hung up on me is insane. Stay on the line, peoples. I've got stuff to say. 2. The relay operator's only role is to act as a go-between. This means it's a faux pas to directly address the operator or act like you are talking to the operator instead of me. If you say, "Tell her I said blah 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 blah," the operator will get annoyed with you, probably, and remind you to speak directly to me. Imagine there isn't even an operator there. If I say, "What time is it?" say 4:30, not "Tell her I said 4:30. 3. The operator needs to know when you are done speaking so that she can relay what you said via typing. She also needs to know this from me. The deaf end has to do this as well. So every time you are done with speaking and ready for it to be relayed to me, say, "Go ahead." This is the signal that they should type it out and then wait for my reply. So what really happens is I type, "What time is it? QQGA. The QQ signifies to the operator that I'm asking a question and to use a rising tone. "What time is it?" The GA stands for "go ahead." And you say, "4:30, go ahead." 4. Because it takes time to type and sometimes the internet is slow business and all of that, please realize that relay calls are slow. It is eternally frustrating for everyone involved, me, you, and the operator. We all know this, so try to keep your patience and remember that it sucks for all of us. It's by no means a perfect form of communication, but sometimes it's necessary when I need to call a doctor or a company or something that doesn't have a way to email them. 5. You should be aware that the operator is tasked with making the call as normal as it can be for me. That means if you are yelling, they will tell me. If you sound pissed off or annoyed, they will tell me. If you are blasting Lady Gaga in the background, they will tell me. If you burp or fart, they will tell me. They want their deaf users to have as close to the same experience that a hearing person would have on the phone. So if you sound super annoyed, the operator will type, "4:30, sounds annoyed, GA. So try to have some patience and be mindful that this is a drawn-out method of conversation for everyone involved. And that's How to Receive a Relay Call from Deafula 3. In addition to zine readings, I'd like to have occasional short fiction and poetry readings on the program. So we're going to hear part one of a story called Weather by New Zealand author Thomason Slay. This is from paperradio.net.
All the weather forecasters, everyone who works for the Meteorological Service, the weather ladies on TV, the designers of the cheerful sun graphics, the mathematicians who map the potentials and possibilities, they've all gone somewhere. Nobody knows where, and no one can get any weather forecasts. When you call the weather hotlines, which make you pay through the nose, there is only a repetitive beeping noise, meaning the number doesn't exist anymore, and the line is dead. Someone went to a weather forecaster's house. They knocked and tried the door. It was open, so they entered, tentatively. The house was empty, There was no one there. There was a load of wet clothes in the washing machine and half a can of peaches in the fridge. Attempts such as this to solve the problem are reported on the news with trepidation. The problems that stem from the sudden disappearance of the weather forecasters are numerous and unexpected. People don't know what to pack for their summer holidays. They remember that time when there was a cyclone up north during Christmas. Maybe there will be one again, they wonder, looking up at the sky. No one has any way of knowing whether they should pack gumboots into the back of their station wagons or not to worry. The uncertainty is too much for some. They sit down on the edge of the footpath with their heads in their hands. One simply cannot prepare for every contingency. No station wagon can hold everything. On the websites where there used to be weather forecasts, the screens are now black. The blackness makes the screens look very deep, like you could reach into them and the space would stretch far back. The blackness is that blue-green blackness that screens often display when they are not working at all. It is a special technological blackness that didn't exist before computers were invented. In the slot on the news where there used to be the weather, they have to fill in the time. They screen human interest stories back to back. The news presenters don't even bother to introduce them. Someone sitting at a console behind the scenes presses a button and three stories run very quickly. One about a boy whose brother died, but the boy's psychologist told him that baking biscuits would make him feel better. One about a man who used to be a hobo, but now he teaches the banjo for a living. One about a capuchin monkey who made friends with a girl, but then the monkey died of septicemia. These stories play, one after the other, and it helps people forget that there hasn't been a weather forecast.
The station specifically designed to help the world's blind and sighted communities see eye to eye, this is the Global Voice.
Fear that song.
group called The Cord and the Fawn from A Cure for the Brokenhearted and Edible Onion Companion, put out by a wonderful record label called Edible Onion. And for more information, you can check out www.edibleonion.com. I'm going to play another piece from that compilation in just a minute. But one of the fun things about zines is that they can be just about anything. I have a zine called Tea Time, Love Letter Number 4, which is literally all about tea, written by Jennifer Busby from Portland, Oregon. This is her introduction. I know you probably don't need another excuse to party, and tea parties seem old-fashioned, stuffy, boring. I have a secret. They're not. Like any party, a tea party is as rowdy as you want it to be. The following zine contains both traditional and non-traditional approaches to taking your tea. You don't have to do it at the standard 3 p.m. Midnight tea on the roof of the Volcanology building? Why not? Tea pool party? Your sandwiches might get soggy, but when else can you play chicken and sip Darjeeling at the same time? Tea is usually better suited for a small crowd, less than half a dozen, but a potluck-style tea can balloon into a block party if you want it to. Put your own stamp on the tradition of taking tea. You'll be surprised at how much fun it can be. And Jennifer includes a recipe in her zine for balsamic chicken sandwiches. The ingredients are as follows. 2.5 pounds of boneless chicken breasts, 1 cup of balsamic vinegar, 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 garlic cloves minced, salt and pepper to taste, 1 cup of sun-dried tomatoes, soaked 15 minutes in hot water, 8 ounces of creamy goat cheese, 1/4 cup of sour cream, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh oregano, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh basil, and 2 tablespoons of fresh thyme. 1 pound of focaccia bread, sandwich bread works as well. She says to marinate the chicken in a mixture of oil, vinegar, garlic, salt, and pepper. Let it sit for 4 hours. Grill the chicken 4 minutes per side or until juices run clear, then set aside. In a food processor, combine the remaining ingredients, except the bread, and blend until smooth. Season with salt and pepper. Construct the sandwiches using a slice of chicken, some spread, and the bread. This recipe makes 18 3x3-inch sandwiches.
Day by day, history.
Music by Brayer from A Cure for the Brokenhearted, an edible onion companion in a tune called Crocus. This is DJ Frederick, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine on the Global Voice. And I'd like to invite you to comment on the show or participate by sending your own audio for possible inclusion in an upcoming edition. You can email fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. That's fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. Well, Mixed Media is heard on the Global Voice on the third Friday of the month at 17:30 UTC, with repeats currently on the following Saturday at 6:30 UTC and Monday at 16:30 UTC. This is DJ Frederick. Let's keep the spirit of independent music, writing, and radio alive and thriving.
Hi, this is Marco May, and I'm glad you're listening to the Global Voice Internet Radio.